This is a Smoke Radio podcast.
Welcome to Smoke Radio's election debate. Put your questions to the candidates using the hashtag UWSUVote.
Your host and chair for the evening is Cassie Galpin.
Good evening, that's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio. This is the election debate. We have got a jam-packed evening this evening. We have got all of the candidates who are running for sabbatical officer roles. This year, only one of the current SABs can also rerun as well, so we're going to be finding out more about that. We have news on the NUS candidates who were only announced this morning. And you'll find out more. We'll get started very soon. I'm also joined in the studio by Jack, who is going to be keeping in us touch with all the Facebook and Twitter.
Get involved with the show by tweeting at @smoke_radio using the hashtag UWSUVote.
That's right. Do get in touch at @smoke_radio. OK, so we've been going around the university and we've been finding out more about what people actually think about the students' union elections. But coming up first, before we hear about that, we've got Jack in the studio who's going to tell us a little bit more about how you can get involved.
Yes, I'll be here keeping an extra close eye on Twitter and making sure your questions get answered. So tweet in your questions and thoughts to @smoke_radio using the hashtag UWSUVote. And if you want to call in, give us a tweet and we'll get in contact so you can put your questions directly to the candidates. And for all further updates and further news, go to www.smokeradio.co.uk. The Twitter handle again is @smoke_radio and that vital hashtag UWSUVote.
Fantastic. So it is really vital that students get in contact with us. We can ask the hard questions that you want to ask. Coming up first, we'll be speaking to Lydia Frumusu on the phone and Ash Chetri, who are both running for the NUS delegate role. And unfortunately, Adil Yaqub wasn't able to make the show, but we will be having a little look at his manifesto. But first, we've been talking around the university. We spoke to some students, and this especially, we've got all of the candidates sitting waiting outside. So take a listen to this, find out what other students actually think of the elections.
Are you going to be voting in the student elections?
Well, I only really found out about it and one person did come up to me, so I might vote. I might.
Yes, I will.
What do you think needs to be done by the SU?
I think the SU needs to be clearer and communicate better and be more transparent with students.
They're not really advertised that much, and when they are, it's like little posters that don't catch anybody's attention. And it's not really something that's like put out there and made to seem like all that important, really.
Will you be voting in the student election?
No.
How come?
For me personally, everything's pretty cool as it is. I think that... Oh, yeah, no. This is something that would be cool. If the studios were 24 hours.
What do you think needs to be done by the SU?
I really think that they need to kind of have a real presence in uni matters rather than just being quite into it, which I believe they are at the moment.
What do you think needs to be done by the SU?
I think they need to, in terms like of like the social aspect, they need to do more activities, but they need to make sure rather than making it specific to one campus, they need to make sure that it integrates every campus, because I think although this is a great university, like one of its downfalls is that it's not a campus uni, like all the campuses are so like separated.
Do you know what the student union is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a union of students.
What do you think needs to be done by the SU? What needs to be improved?
I think probably the interactivity of like the other campuses, so everyone else can kind of bond and become more sort of like a big campus, because right now like everyone's sort of separate and in their own like little cliques. So it'd be good if they could maybe get everyone else together, and be good if they could also probably put their policies probably more clear, because like what are they really?
Do you know what the student union is?
Yeah, I think I have a fair understanding. I think it's meant to be a body that's meant to enact changes and make movements in the name of students. You know.
What is the student union to you?
I think of it a bit more like the school council, you know, like at school. I think that's what it's supposed to be anyway.
So do you know what the student union is?
Not really.
To me, I don't have much contact with it. I used to run a society, so we had a little bit of contact with that, but not anymore. So, yeah, I don't know if it's much to me.
What is it to you?
To me, the student union, it's probably just like a body of like people to help the students. I don't know. Like, we don't really know, you know, what they actually do, to be honest.
Do you know what the student union is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the student union. It's where you go and get free lanyards and stuff like that. Condoms, stuff like that.
Okay, so that last bit as well, free stuff. It's what students remember, I think, from freshers. Okay, so coming up after this song by Katy Perry, we'll be talking to Ash Chetri in the studio, Lydia Frumusu on the phone, and also Amana Lamara sent a statement in because she was unable to make it to the event. We'll actually have a special question from a caller as well, so stay tuned.
This is Smoke Radio's election debate. First up, we talk to the NUS delegates.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio. Do get in contact at smoke_radio. This is the election debate special. So first up, we are speaking to the NUS delegates. We've got in the studio Ash Chetri. Hello.
Hello there.
And you are running to be a NUS delegate, is that right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, fantastic. And we also will be speaking to Lydia Frumusu on the phone in a minute, and we've also got a statement from Amana Lamara. So, Jack, what things have you picked up from Amana's statement? She sent us a statement because she was unable to make the event.
Yeah, Amana's sent us a statement. She's got she's looking at helping students financially and encouraging opportunities that boost employability skills, things along that line.
Okay, fantastic. So we've got Harry Taylor on the phone anytime soon, and he's got a question that actually relates to students on all campuses. Harry, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm there.
Would you like to just put your question to Ash, and we'll have to hang up on you, but then we'll get Lydia Frumusu on the phone, who will be able to answer the question. If you want to come back to us after, please do at smoke_radio. Okay, go ahead, please.
All right, I'd like to ask about what the LGBT plus policies are and what they think can be done within the university to help deal with LGBT issues in education.
I'm glad you asked that question.
Okay, Ash, so if you answer that, that would be great. And also, because you're an NUS delegate, maybe how you're going to take it to the NUS conferences.
Certainly. So it is clear that in our university that LGBT students don't feel safe on the campus. There's been numerous reports year after year from the LGBT society and students. What I plan to do is I plan to work on three different areas. One, I want to clamp down on intimidation. So I think last year there was a report by the LGBTI society that there have been abuse in halls and there have been rampant homophobia as well. And I think this is not acceptable. The second area that I want to touch upon is also I want to work and form a tighter integration with the LGBTI society and the wider LGBTI societies in the NUS and other universities as well to form a strong liberation network so we can build upon a more inclusive environment at university.
Okay, fantastic. So over to Jack, have you got something from Amana's statement?
Yes, so I've got Amana's statement here, and she has said along topics of that line, I believe, she said, as academic institutions, universities should not be hindering opportunities of lively discussions or topics. How are we meant to progress in thinking socially and politically? So that's
okay.
Her statement.
Right, fantastic. And we also have Lydia Frumusu on the phone. Hi, Lydia. Hello, Lydia, are you there?
Yeah, sure, that's fine. Hi.
Hi, Lydia.
Hi.
So we've got a question in from Harry Taylor, who was asking about how you will take into account the questions from LGBT students at the University of Westminster if you were to be elected as an NUS conference delegate.
How would I take in the questions? So, for instance, do you mean like via email or Twitter?
How would you take account of their views and take them forward to the NUS conferences?
I would listen to them, and I'm quite a big supporter of LGBT plus rights, especially among campuses. So I would definitely listen to them, consider them, and pass them on in forward to the conference.
Fantastic. Thank you. Have you? We also wanted to ask you about your affordability in London for students. That's on your manifesto. I wondered if you could tell us a little bit more about how you would aim to make London more affordable.
London as a whole, I guess more integration between, trying to push more integration between the universities. The University of London is quite integrated together, but then if you have universities like Westminster and those that don't follow the ULU structure, it would be nice to try and follow a more within the M25 group structure, for instance, maybe having student unions more accessible to make things like going out and having fun cheaper.
Okay.
Perhaps one of them was group events.
Okay, so Ash, Ash is back in the studio. So I wondered if how do you think that universities in London should work together? Do you support NUS London?
Yeah, I think Michael Chesham, I'm not sure if he's still involved, but he was the former president of the ULU, which is the University of London Union. And him and one of his vice presidents was, you know, mooting on the idea of creating a London-wide union. But, you know, this is something that would take years to implement. It's not an overnight thing. But I am certainly in favour of it. I think we could all benefit from a London NUS.
Okay, fantastic. So could we just, Lydia, can you just sort of summarise why you think you would be a good delegate to go forward to the NUS conference, just in about 20 seconds, if you could?
Okay, sure. I'm confident. I'll listen to students. I'll be happy to take any comments on board via email, Twitter. I'm involved in many societies and I have a good general aspect of knowledge of what's going on.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm aware that we haven't so much covered about what the NUS is, but so the NUS is the National Union of Students. They look after students' unions around the country. And this election for the conference delegate is where a group of students are picked by students from their university to go and represent their views. So Ash, please could you just explain why you would be a good candidate?
So as I'm running for both the UWSU president position and the NUS position, I think I have an advantage there because I could implement policies at a university level and then take them to the national level as well. So I could actually listen to your views on the ground level and actually go to the conference and build policies that would affect students national wide.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And also Adil Yaqub wasn't able to make it. So if you want to find out any more about his policies, you can do that from the Smoke Radio website, smokeradio.co.uk. Thank you, Ash. And thank you, Lydia.
You're listening to Smoke Radio's Election Debate.
This is Smoke Radio's Election Debate. Next up, we hear from the Cavendish candidates.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio. Do get in touch with your questions at @smoke_radio. Now, I'm joined in the studio by our two Cavendish candidates. Would you, Ranu?
I'll go first then.
We are introduced by Ranu and we have Usman as well, who is actually the current VP of Cavendish and he's running again as a candidate for this year. So, Ranu, could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Ranu Essarashid. I am a final year biomedical sciences undergraduate, and yes, I am running for the position of VP for CAV.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm Usman Mahmood. I'm the current vice president of Cavendish, and I'm looking to rerun to be my second term.
Okay, fantastic. So we have you both in the studio today. Thank you for coming along. Usman, I'll start with you. Last year, you said that you'd get power boxes on campus so that students can charge their phone more securely. And it's on your manifesto again this year. Mm-hmm. So I wondered what's happened with that.
OK, sure. Let me start. So there's some issues in terms of spacing issues, in terms of where to put it, in terms of health and safety. I have consulted the dean, and this is kind of, we've decided from sort of various talks with the dean that there will be a potential social space, and we're looking to integrate it within the campus to have the charging sort of points there. We've spoken it and we brought it up in three student forum meetings in the past few weeks.
Okay, so do you think it's something that looks likely to happen this year?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's a key issue because students are kind of struggling to find plugs as well when they're kind of vacant. So, yeah.
Okay, so if you get elected, that's something that students can expect. Ranu, in your manifesto, mm-hmm. you said that leaders should kind of work behind the scenes, and if people don't know who yeah. their leader is, then they think that the change is more about them.
Yes.
Don't you think that power needs to be held to account so that people know who you are and what you're doing?
There should be full transparency and accountability. What I meant, the intent behind me putting that quotation in my manifesto was, it's the idea of encouraging students to empower themselves. And as the current sabbatical officer for Cavendish would know, it is all about empowering the students. And obviously, as a sabbatical officer, in a way, you're leading change on campus. But that doesn't mean that you need to dominate all aspects of the changing process for anything that you do on campus. But what I meant by that quote, ultimately, is to encourage students to empower themselves. And that's ultimately the philosophy behind that quote.
Okay, so ultimately, you think that stuff should go on behind the scenes, allowing students to make the changes for themselves?
Not necessarily. Either way, it doesn't really matter. As long as the students are getting involved on their campus and they're aware of the policies, they're working with the sabbatical officer who works with them to ensure that those policies become reality.
Okay.
On campus.
Fantastic. So, Usman, over to you. The need for a social space at Cavendish was hotly debated last year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was a lot of conversation. I remember at the Smoke TV debate, there was a lot on it. So I wondered, it's on your manifesto for this year. What would be your plans if you were to be re-elected?
Okay, so those plans have already started before I've been re-elected. We're in talks with the dean, as I've mentioned, around regarding the social space. We're put on the board for the architects. We're having a few student leads and myself on the board to be speaking with the architects on what we expect to have in the social space and what we need. We found a location for the social space, which will be a registry that will be moved to the second floor. So it will be the social space will be on the ground floor, and that's been in talk with the dean and senior members of staff.
So even if you don't get elected, Ranu, is that something that students can look forward to?
Obviously, because as a sabbatical officer, you don't just do what you do. If the students want it done, it will be done, period.
Okay, fantastic. Usman, back to you. So there is also the news of the SAB pay cut down to £20,000 a year. Lots of students are surprised that elected sabbatical officers actually get paid. Obviously, it's a full-time job for a year. How do you feel about this pay cut? Because obviously your pay is going down.
Sure. It's not a massive issue for me. I live at home with my family, so it's not a massive issue. I'm not have higher expenses such as rent and bills. But I do this job because I love my job. I love the job. I love to help students, to empower them, to lead them, and to help them in any way I can. I try to focus on a one-to-one relationship with students as well, so they can sort of gain the benefit of the student union, to really have an open door policy. So the pay cut does not really affect me, if I'm very honest with you.
Okay. And Ranu, back to you. Mm. In your manifesto, you say that you will run a pro-gender campaign.
Yes.
And you said that you will run this through Smoke Media and the QH.
Yes.
How do you see this actually working, seeing as we have editorial independence from the Students' Union?
So one thing, because I have a lot, obviously I'm my own presenter on Smoke Radio, I have my own breakfast show.
Right.
And that's encouraged me to actually reach out to organisations, whether it's people working in the upcoming National Student Pride, which we have going on at Marylebone, or Stonewall, which I'm in talks with at the moment, to have spokesmen come into the studio to talk a bit about the issue of homophobia, which is a very serious issue. And as has been said in previous talks, homophobia is very much still prevalent on campus. But in terms of using the media, that represents a very powerful, and from a visual
don't
perspective,
don't you think that it
output.
Will seem like a form of propaganda?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you take any society, or that may, for example, the LGBTI society, if they want to do some kind of event or activity, and they'd like help from maybe a sabbatical officer to arrange something, maybe some logistics might be involved, maybe they'd like a mention on the radio or what have you, then that can be done. But not necessarily propaganda. It's very important that you realise it's not just the content of what you're saying, but also how you say it. For example, if you have certain societies, and I won't name them, bringing on speakers into Cavendish to talk about certain things with their own agenda, that's all fine. And it's the idea of protecting free speech, but it should not be seen as propaganda. It's very much about mutual respect, and that's very much the intent behind that pledge.
Fantastic. A lot of conversation between sabbatical officers and candidates running for these positions often focuses around employability. I know, Usman, this is a massive point for you. And you also made the point of the alumni network. I wondered if you could tell us a bit more about your plans for this and what's happened so far this year.
Sure. Okay, so let me just... employability is a big issue that's facing our students. They are very unmotivated. They feel the graduate market is getting tougher, as which it is. It's getting more competitive. So what I've done over the past year, I've set up a brand called Career Links. We are launching that very soon. I've collaborated with other societies to host employability events, the Law Society being one of them. I'm looking at bringing special speakers, like I mentioned. Solomon Uchter from The Apprentice is coming in next month in March. And I've run my own work. I've run four workshops, a collaboration with the library, to sort of run my own workshops about how to have an effective LinkedIn profile. I've taken steps to work with the existing Career Development Centre to collaborate on events so we can have a wider reach and really take advantage. I have a careers fair happening next Monday with the likes of IBM, Bloomberg and Sky coming down and the alumni from our university.
Right, so so it sounds like you're doing a lot and you plan to do a lot in the future. Is this a key issue for you, Renu?
Yes, it is. One of the other things that I've pledged to do in my manifesto is create a life sciences society. Now, with my contacts in the Wellcome Trust, so getting people who are researchers, scientists, also people in Sky and the BBC, both in Radio 4 and in Sky News and Corporate Affairs, getting them to hopefully come in to talk to students. And so it's not just for science. It's not just for the sciences society.
So I just wanted to ask about your life sciences society.
Yes.
It's possible for any students to set up a society. Why wouldn't you just do this as a student?
Well, there was a predecessing society for biomedical sciences, but that was quite restricted and it never really took off. But the idea of having more course-related societies that don't just focus on one particular degree pathway, but other degree pathways, hopefully will help students, not just to learn about certain concepts they learn in modules, but also to liaise with researchers, some of which are active researchers at our university, like Dr. Edward Wright, who's going to be on my show to talk about a recent episode on BBC News Night. So it's just about, again, getting students to be more active in terms of what's going on in the world of science, but also media and journalism as well.
Right, so you're aiming to get lots of other students from other campuses as well involved.
Of course,
yes. Because inevitably everything overlaps.
Yeah.
Okay, Usman, your module fair idea, I know a lot of modules, a lot of students are uninformed when it comes to choosing mm-hmm. their modules. I wondered if you could maybe sort of talk us around your module fair idea.
So the module fair, I've had a lot of students come to me during the second semester saying, I picked a module, I didn't like it, I didn't want to pick it, everything else was full up. And they weren't really made aware of that. So I've started taking action. I've been speaking to heads of departments from a variety of courses within the Cavendish campus, from psychology to the computing side as well, and to lecturers that I was taught by about the idea. And they're very fond of the idea, and I think it would make students a bit more well-informed of career decisions as well. Great, yeah.
Fantastic.
And back to course-based societies, we are pushing for more...
Well, I wanted to ask, why are they so important? Why are course-based societies so
important?
Are
very important. For example, we've set up three in the past few months. One being the Programming Society, which covers all computer science and electrical engineering-based societies. In 2 days alone, they have 220 members, and they've done really well because they're serving a whole department around technology and engineering.
Okay, so we've just had a message come through on Twitter. Jack, would you just talk to us about this? And Usman, if you could answer it, that'd be great.
Yes, sure. We heard a tweet from Anand Mangnala, and he said, course-related societies will help not one course, but more courses. How is that course-related society?
So I think that's possibly towards Ranu as well. So Ranu, could you just answer that for 10 seconds?
You mean so in terms of how it would help? Okay, so obviously one thing you can do is get active researchers to come into the university to give talks to students about their research, perhaps even strengthen their connections to industry for postgraduate research or what have you, and to also provide an opportunity and a platform for students to further deepen their understanding of certain concepts, which may be relevant to their assessments as well.
Okay, so you think that it could help others?
It aids their learning and it strengthens their career prospects for the future in their relevant field.
Great. Usman, how would you answer that question?
Okay, so with course-based societies, for example, bringing the Programming Society, there's not just a course-based, but it's university-wide. It covers the engineering technology-based courses, but those students who kind of from an entrepreneur side, from the business school or from media, wants to sort of get into programming, wants to be more aware, if they want to create their own app, they can. these societies are course-based. They help to really encompass everyone who are kind of from different faculties, different courses, and it helps them to come together and really sort of start, create that sense of community. And it also allows for students to network better, create better links with each other, and really develop as a whole.
And I suppose this is something that will come up later on in the show, about the advertising of these events. I'm sure you've got... would like to discuss for more about that, but we've got another tweet in, or another message from Jack.
Yeah, just want to say apologies to Rhianna, we didn't quite get your questions to the NUS delegates. We're going to have Harrow coming up next after Cavendish. If you've got any questions for the Harrow candidates, please do tweet in now so that I can get them in and we can ask them questions for you.
Fantastic. So just a big thank you to Ranu and Usman for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Please hang around. You can chat with them after the show on the Twitter using the hashtag UWSUVote. Coming up, you'll be hearing from the Harrow candidates, Otis and Lucas. Up next, we'll be listening to Kasabian.
This is Smoke Radio's election debate. Next up, we hear from the Harrow candidates.
This is Smoke Radio's election debate. Next up, we hear from the Harrow candidates.
Okay, fantastic. You are listening to Smoke Radio. Please do get in contact at smoke_radio if you have any questions for the candidates. We are joined in the studio by Lucas. Hello.
Hey.
And Otis as well.
Hey, how you doing?
So would you just, Otis, could you just introduce yourself and what course you're studying?
My name's Otis Kirby-Dunkley. I'm running for the vice president position in Harrow and I study radio production.
Fantastic.
I'm Lucas Rapp. I study MA documentary photography and photojournalism and running as well for the vice president position.
Fantastic. So, Lucas, your manifesto talks about more awareness of high-end facilities at the university. So I just wondered, what do you mean about this? And do you think that all students should be allowed to use these facilities?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the main thing is, for example, today I went up in the library and 6 computers were just not working. They had like some problems whatsoever. So this is one side. You have the computers up there who are not up to date and everyone needs them. You can sometimes not even open a Word document because they're not updated. On the other side, we have special workstations with more power, especially for editing, video editing, photo editing. Most of the people don't know where they are. They are hardly used because just the main reasons, really, they don't know where they are.
Okay, so if you were to be elected and students did know about these places, how could you ensure if there was access for all students, for example, here, how could you ensure that they wouldn't be vandalized?
I mean, most of the studios, there is a person where you have to register, you have to talk to them that you get the studio and then you are signed in. So there's a kind of security for that, what makes it quite easy to control it. I mean, of course, you have special times when you can enter it.
Okay. Otis, what do you have to say back to this?
Could you repeat just one more time?
Lucas has been talking about allowing all students use to high-end facilities and making sure that studios and other facilities work, as he's experienced a lot of problems. So how would you sort of deal with this?
Well, I think specifically, say, for radio, we have a technician. So if there was any problems going on, the thing that the students need to do is report it, and people aren't doing that. So for things that are broken, as a collective of students, we need to be the ones reporting it, and we're not doing that at the moment.
So do you think, so it's a responsibility of the students to make sure things are working, even though it's not particularly them that might have broken it?
Well, of course, because it's not like you're going to get a staff member going around on every single computer. There must be thousands of computers in this university. So, I mean, we're here studying. If something's not working, we need to tell them.
Okay, in your campaign, in your manifesto, you've said that you'll lobby for 24-hour studio access around busy times of the year. This has been tried tons of times before, at least last year and the year before, to no avail. How can you make sure that this will actually happen this year if you do get elected?
Okay, well, the issue we've had in the past is because of health and safety issues, and most of the departments at the moment have had these health and safety health and safety looked into, and currently we are at the stage where unsupervised areas, so like the radio studios, like right now, or the editing suites, as soon as the teachers go home at 6 o'clock, there is no supervision. So when they're locked up at 9 o'clock, it's exactly the same. There's no supervision for those 3 hours, and that's the same as what it would be like over the nighttime period as well. So because we've had these health and safety checks and now they're in place, all we have to do is get one more bit of staff from the security who would then come through and check every hour or whatever.
So it's a very achievable aim for you.
Fortunately, Rhiann has set up these checks and we are now at the position to go forward with the 24-hour studios. Yeah.
So that's something that people can expect if you were to be elected. Lucas, back to you. In your manifesto, you have mentioned that you were involved with a student council at one of your old universities. I wondered if you could explain how this concept works and if you would be interested in introducing it at Westminster.
Well, it's basically totally different because we do it as a volunteer. So you do it besides studies. You just give up your free time and try as much as you can. And, well, you have debates and you try to change something. For example, we made it possible that we have an art fair in the end for all the students who want to contribute and do something. So I guess it's not really possible to do it here because it's much more advanced here. I mean, get elected, for example, like here in Harrow, it's a job. So you can't just focus on this. So, I mean, you can do much more than we could do there. We did it Wednesday afternoon for 5 hours. And here you have practically like every day. So it makes in that way no sense because it's much better here.
So you think that sabbatical officers can take the role of student council as you might have experienced it before?
In that way. I don't know like how much they do in that way, but...
Okay. Okay, now we've got a question on Twitter from Jack.
Yep, we've got a question for each candidate from Rhiann Gordon, who is the VP of Harrow at the moment. She's got one for Lucas. Lucas, she says, learning futures is a long-term project. How will you ensure that current students will see the benefits of the work you'll do?
Well, I can say, for example, that in a learning, like I submitted one program, or like one idea, and I will go next week to Marylebone and talk about this. And it's also about the workstations, just that they get used and they get updated. So they will see if it's going to work. And like Otis said, okay, it's right that we as a student have as well the responsibility to talk about this. But it's a big, it's the campus here with a lot of good facilities and they should be updated. Like it's not possible that you cannot open a Word document.
Okay, and Rhiann is also posed a question to Otis. She said, what's your plan with the printing budgets, Otis?
Okay, with the printing budgets, at the moment I'm not in the position where I can change it, but I've spoken to the library staff and they say it could be possible to change. And even if it's not possible to change, the thing that I want to do is make it transparent, because at the moment it's a hidden course cost. Once we go to £15, that's it. People like fashion students, they have so much more printing than somebody does radio, for instance, so they need to have a bigger budget. So if I can't enlarge it, then I just want to make it as transparent as possible for students coming to Westminster.
Okay, so thanks for those points. Otis, I wanted to pick you up on something that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. A less intimidating union.
Yeah.
Is this something that you've experienced?
Personally, I do know, I've been very involved with the SU, so I know all the people in the SU, but still, when I go to the Students' Union, I'm like, ooh, do I know anybody in there? And if I don't, yes, I do feel a bit intimidated. And that's because the doors are always closed and the Students' Union at the moment is in an isolated area in the street. I personally think it would be brilliant if we could move it into the forum where all the students are at lunchtime and everything like that, so...
So you want them more in the visible eye of all students. And Lucas, you're a postgrad student. How do you think you would help others in this position of being a postgraduate student? Often postgraduate students feel that they're left out. They don't really know what's going on in the union and the university. How do you think you could learn from your experience?
I think a main reason is that there's a bad communication in Harrow. So you don't hear a lot from the student union here around. Even their organizing stuff, it's, you know, if you're a postgraduate, you have, like, it's my course, 2 days a week we are here and we live all over the place. It's hard to know each other. It takes 2 months to know the other people. So it's quite hard to do it. Like, there was a beginning, they set up a student union, I think, for postgraduates. And I talked to them and I wanted to get involved and to help people, but I never got a feedback. So if I get elected, I will start this and do it seriously to help people, to help postgraduates.
Okay, guys, I've got one more question on the Twitter. It's from Amy. She said the Undercroft is obviously very important to all the students. How can you guys make it more appealing for the students at Harrow and the other campuses coming here as well? Go to Otis first.
Okay, well, I've spoken to Rob, who's the bar manager, and first of all, to make it more appealing, we need to sort out the toilets, and that's an easy thing to sort out. You just talk to the faculty's department, and they're very willing and helpful, and they'll make it clean. And as soon as it's clean, the toilets, then people will respect it and keep it clean. And when I spoke to Rob, I said, can we do 40% off happy hour? And he said, we can't do just 1 hour because that's advertising binge drinking. But if we put it over a 3-hour period, then that would be absolutely fine. And at the moment, if you didn't already know, a bit of advertising, the SU, they have a card which is £20 and you get 12 pints with it. So it's about 160 something for a drink. So there's already a lot of advertising that just needs to be kind of visible for the students, which they don't already know about.
Okay, fantastic. Lucas, would you like to pick up on any of those points?
Yeah, just additional thing what we could do, for example, in the summer whatsoever, if it's warmer, you can make more parties here, especially we are outside London. So it's quite hard if you want to party longer if you're in the city centre. And the advantages here, like close, there are not a lot of people. I mean, of course, you have the hospital, but still, it's not that people feel bothered.
So, okay, great. You seemed very keen in your manifesto that you would work with the university to achieve some of your goals. I wondered how you would go about this, what sort of contacts you make.
Okay, so there are some more things, like, for example, the food at the university. It's let's say, not special. A lot of people are complaining. I know people who like can't eat gluten. You will not find even the sauce. There's gluten in. It's no chance. So I think this is not so hard to tackle because a lot of substitutes you can make, they cost the same price. It's just if you want or not. And even people like vegetarians who don't have some good food. On the other side as well, I see some people complaining who eat meat that the food is just every day the same and it's not good. So this is one thing with the university.
So a better range of choice of food.
Yeah.
Yeah, to help people with allergies, particularly gluten. Okay, we have one more phone on the line. We have Adam Bloom from the Comedy Society. Have you got your question?
You right there?
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I've got a question for Lucas, actually.
Okay, Lucas, that's a question for you.
Lucas, you said that you wanted to implement an awareness of the facilities that we have in the university. I was just wondering how exactly you're going to implement this. How do you create awareness?
Yeah, I think like the main problem at the university is that you just don't know where they are. It's hard to find a room here. So in order to make this much easier, like if you have a guiding system, what is really missing at the university because you just get lost everywhere, this would help the people. And
to me, this guiding system seems a bit vague. Have you got an actual idea in your head how this guiding system
be? I mean, the guiding system as a basic is just that you know which building is where. It's like whenever I'm here, I get lost because I don't know where A, B, C or something like this is. Another chance about the awareness and make it much easier for the students is if you have, for example, a booking system, or at least you see online where the facilities are and when someone is working there. So you know, okay, they are there and you can use them, but they are, you know, it's not somewhere where everyone passed by. They're in some building where you don't see them.
So Lucas, thank you for the answer to this question. I'm going to hand it over to Otis as well.
Okay. Well, with what you said about people not knowing where things are, I think it would be really good to put the students' union itself into the forum. And with putting it into the forum, people will be able to come up with, if it was an open door forum, people will be able to come in and out. And that would probably be the best way for students to find out where everything is, because it would be fully available for people in the area where it's most busy.
Great.
I don't see myself going onto a website, so that makes sense.
Okay, thank you for your question, Adam. Thank you to our candidates for the Harrow campus. We've got Lucas and Otis in the studio.
Get involved with the show by tweeting @smoke_radio using the hashtag UWSUvote. This is Smoke Radio's election debate. Next up, we hear from the Marylebone candidates.
That's right, we're joined in the studio with the Marylebone candidates. But first up, we're going to have an update for what's going on the Twitter sphere from Jack.
Yeah, lots and lots of tweets. Thanks everyone for tweeting in. Carry on doing so at @smoke_radio with the hashtag UWSUvote. We got a few questions coming in for the presidents, which we'll get out later. And yeah, I'm Smoke TV, whose debate is tomorrow, of course, tweeting in. They're excited about tomorrow, so there we are.
Yeah, so you can come down to the Cayley Theatre, that's on Marylebone, and you can, that's from 6 p.m. tomorrow. So go along to that and you'll be able to hear from all the candidates all over again. Okay, so let's start off. Salsa, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Salsa and I'm running for your VP on Marylebone.
Okay, and...
Hi, my name is Shimon, and I'm also running for VP of Marylebone.
Great.
And I'm Fatima, and I'm also running for the VP of Marylebone.
Okay, lovely. So could you just say which course you're studying for?
I'm studying business management with marketing.
Yeah.
I study international business with Arabic.
And I study architecture.
Okay, fantastic. So you're running for the VP of Marylebone. That's one of our most central London campuses, and right opposite Baker Street Tube Station and Madame Tussauds. So you're very, very central. Fatima, I'll start with you. Smoking errors at Marylebone have been a big issue before at election times. So what needs to be done? I thought it was already resolved.
Oh, right. I think maybe there needs to be like a special area where students can feel free to smoke wherever they want. And something that I would like to propose is like a competition for architecture students where they could propose a proposal when the best proposal with the best smoking area would win, really. And that would be like engaging the architecture society with the rest of the campus also.
Okay, so Saspil, what
They've
do you
already
have to say?
Looked into that actually, and they have told that the APE students are going to be the ones designing it, but they're just arguing on where they're going to put it.
Just to be clear, is this the students'
smoking
union
area,
or the university?
And the university. It's, however, they're just trying to find a place where they can put it. They're arguing for it now. For now, temporarily, they've put a white line around the campus from the front where no one's allowed to smoke in that designated area.
But how's that enforced? Because, Sharman, maybe you could introduce with this. I've seen plenty of people smoking in within the white line. How can that be enforced?
That's an interesting question, actually. I think there's already a few smoker signs already there. I think maybe we need to actually get the message out that you can't smoke there. I mean, it is a big issue because, like, for example, I mean, I have a beard, so when I walk past, the smoke kind of stays inside my facial hair, which is annoying for me. That's just a personal issue.
Okay, interesting. So to Salsabil, in your manifesto, you say that you want to make the use of P3. I'll just give a bit of background to P3. P3 Ambika is a big underground space underneath the Marylebone campus where it's used for art galleries, art installations, and often students' events. But you think that it's not used for students enough.
Yeah, with P3, in my first 2 years of university, which I've been in university for 4 years, it was used for freshers' fair, and it used to always be all large, and people used to fit in there. It wasn't as hot, but now they've changed it to the podium, whereas it's all tight spaced. And bearing in mind, in the first week of uni, you have fans, you have student ambassadors, you have the whole podium is full of students, where you just have everything all cramped in one place. I don't understand the logic behind not allowing P3 for students' union or students. As students, we pay, some of us pay three grand a year, some of us pay 9 grand a year. We should have the priority to be able to use every place or every area within the university. With P3, I know that it's been outsourced to art exhibitions and stuff like that. Fair enough, you do want to make a bit of money on the side for university. However, it is our priority to use it as students.
So Fatima, what's your knowledge of P3? Could you sort of come back to Salsabil about this?
I actually agree with her on that policy because I know as an architecture student, I am aware of the exhibitions that are held there, and it's such an amazing space and like so big, and why don't we use it more for students at our campus?
And Sharman,
I completely agree with both candidates. I think there is an opportunity to use P3. There is a lot of congestion on the social platform. Obviously, we have a lot of students, and I think we should definitely use P3 as an outlet.
And I also wanted to talk to you about your app that you have to put through. And I wondered, you said it's designated for sports and societies, but why couldn't it be SU-wide? Isn't this something that would benefit?
Oh, no, it is basically SU-wide, but the main purpose of it is to basically help societies and sports clubs. It can definitely be used for everyone in the university, basically.
Okay,
especially as networking events. One of my points is also to encourage networking events, and that can also be used to basically raise awareness for those events.
And so we've had a tweet from Rhianne, the current VP of Harrow, our campus here, and she said, it sounds great, but where are you going to get the money? Who's going to invest in it?
Well, basically, I currently have two companies that are ready to develop the app. And as for the budget, well, I mean, I know I can easily lobby for that.
Okay. Would this be something that you two might be on board on if you were to be elected, Sasbil and Fatima?
If I was to be elected, I'd definitely enforce it. However, I'd let Shahman work with me on that if he's still
Thanks.
Around.
Appreciate
okay.
that.
Okay. Fatima, I just wanted to ask you about your hidden course fees point in your manifesto. Particularly for the ABE faculty, there's a lot of hidden course fees. That this is printing books. How would you deal with this problem? Is this a problem for students?
Well, it certainly is, because students of the architecture and built environment have a lot of expenses to spend on, especially like with printing, with buying materials for their models, or even like laser cutting. I mean, something that I would like to propose is like some a loan system where architecture students can borrow money for printing or appliances and whatnot, or even set a budget where, you know, other arts faculties that use a lot of appliances have that already on board.
Okay, Sasbil, you were shaking your head. What were you thinking about Fatima's point? What do you think about Fatima's point? Do you think is hidden course fees a problem? Or
it is a huge problem, not just in the architecture built environments. It's also a huge problem in WBS registry. However, where would you get access to a loan within the university? Like, from what I know, the university is short on money as it is. So for you to try and scrape that much of money out of those,
It wouldn't be like a scraping system where we could get in like other organisations to, I don't know, like sponsor it, or competitions where architecture students that are engaged with to have, you know, to be more involved in, and
okay, so it's a problem to do with lack of money, but Fatima, you think that we could get it. Sharman, I wanted to ask you about the prayer room.
Yes.
at Marylebone campus. Have there been complaints about it?
There have been quite a few, yes. Well, the prayer room is located on P2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like the basement. But obviously there's P3 up below that. There are ventilation issues, drainage problems, and also generally the lack of space, because the rooms are quite small and there is a very large Muslim population at the Marylebone campus. I would like to have, you know, a potential refurbishment or even an expansion if it's possible. I've already spoken with the maintenance manager, and I have an email which basically states that they will conduct an inspection, and when they do, they will invite me. So that's something I've already worked on. And there's also a student who studies quantity surveying and construction, and he has already come up with a plan, a proposal on how to expand the prayer room, and he's already sent that to me, and he's also sent it to Jayesh, the current vice president of Marylebone.
So you do see that, as you said, that there's a large Muslim population at the campus. Mm-hmm. How would you lobby for a refurbishment? What would be your plans for this? How would you ensure that it goes ahead?
Well, first of all, I need to ensure that the inspection goes ahead first. And from that, from the results of the inspection, I can make my next set of moves. And I'm sure if I just started a petition, I'm sure I could have, you know, more than 1,000 signatures available. And then I could lobby to the university to basically give us funding to, you know, improve the facilities that we already have.
Okay, we now have some tweets coming in on the Twitter. Jack, would you like to talk about those?
Yeah, we've got a tweet just come in from the current VP at Marylebone, Jayesh. He said, you haven't mentioned ABE students in your manifestos. How would you make sure their voices are heard? I just want to grab a few other things as well that have come in. To Southville, you've mentioned you want a wider range of food available, but what do you think about the cost of the food? And another one that seems to be coming up is that Marylebone lectures are being brought forward to 9 a.m. from next term, which has caused disruption. What are you going to do about that?
So let's start with Sharman. So what do you think about the bringing forward of 9 a.m. lectures, and how would this affect your students if you were to be elected?
I think that would be detrimental to our education. My schedule, if I can just give my own experience, my timetabling issue is like crazy. Basically, like I've had timetabling where one day I started at 9 o'clock in the morning, I finished at 9 p.m. So I started at 9 a.m. and finished at 9 p.m. And then the next day I started at 10 a.m. I had another lesson. Like that's kind of my schedule every single year. I've had like lessons like that, and to have lessons 9 o'clock in the morning, I think it's dangerous because a lot of people go to work early in the morning as well. The trains will be congested, and I think it's going to be dangerous. People won't turn up. They won't turn up at 9 o'clock in the morning. I can guarantee that.
Okay, so Sasabil?
I just heard of it today, and two students came up to me. They were told that I was running for VP, and they were like, they're postgraduate students, and they said to me, I just heard that it's 9 a.m. However, commuting to uni early in the morning is really hard for me as a postgraduate student, and it's also some students are parents. They drop off their kids to school before coming to university, so then we're not really taking everyone into consideration. Fair enough, you do want to keep it consistent within the university, where Regent's campus does start at 9 a.m, so then you want Marylebone to start at 9 a.m, but you need to take into account the students in Marylebone are already into that system and they already understand that system. For you to change it like that rapidly, they're all going to have to try find other ways to come in earlier, and if you really want a low attendance for your seminars and lectures, then go ahead.
So Fatima, how would you, it seems like it is a issue about these 9 a.m. lectures, how do you think that you would overcome this if you were to be elected vice president?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really heard about this issue, but whatever I do, I would like to accomplish what the majority of the students really want.
Okay, next up we have a tweet from Rhian, the first one that she mentioned. So Jayesh, so this question is for all of the Marylebone candidates. How else might you include postgraduate students? Because they obviously form a large population of the campus. How would you include them? Sharman, would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. There is a serious lack of representation for them, I think. As far as I know, I believe there is a course rep for postgraduates.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we need to maybe engage more with the course reps and basically receive a bit more feedback so we can take appropriate steps to, you know, basically facilitate the needs of postgraduate students.
As current head SSA of Marylebone, we've come up with a plan to engage postgraduates with undergraduates through a networking event. It hasn't been put forward yet, but it's in the process of organising. Also, there's a postgraduate student association. That's their society where each of them can get into contact with us, and hopefully when we do come with this networking event, I want all of them to get involved.
So networking events, get more postgraduate students working together and communicating. Fatima, last point would you like to add?
On the postgraduate issue, is that a question? Yes. Well, to be honest, I would also have liked to, you know, propose a system where undergraduate students would be able to use the experience that postgraduate students have through various kind of things, and maybe like networking event is an option as well.
Okay, that's great. So I'd like to say a big thank you. If you would like to carry on the conversation after you are on air, please do so. You can use the hashtag UWSUVote. Thank you to Sasabil, Sharman and Fatima. Up next, we will be hearing from the candidates for the vice presidents of Regent Street and also the president. And don't forget, you can still get in touch on the Twitter.
Yeah, so get in touch at @smoke_radio. All your questions for the Regent Street and Little Titchfield Street candidates. That'll be up coming up after this song using the hashtag UWSUVote.
You're listening to Smoke Radio. This is their election debate special. We have been speaking to loads of the candidates so far. We're over halfway through now. We've been speaking to the NUS delegates who are running to be your NUS delegates, the Cavendish campus candidates, Harrow candidates, and also just then we had Marylebone candidates. There have been so many questions coming in over Twitter.
Yes, many, many questions. Thank you, everyone, for all your wonderful tweets. I'm trying to get as many in there as I possibly can. Alternatively, the candidates will be campaigning over the next week or so. So go and talk to them. Get your questions directly to them. But carry on listening because we're going to have Regent Street up next. So I want all your questions for Regent and Little Titchfield. Get them in and I'll do my best to muscle my way in and get all your questions to them.
And don't forget that voting opens on Monday through until later in the week. So if you decide who you're going to vote for by Monday, then there will be an email in your inbox on Monday morning telling you how you can vote.
And also there'll be Smoke TV tomorrow, the debate there, hosted by the wonderful Cassie Galpin, of course. None. yeah, that'll be on Smoke TV, are tweeting in. They're just reminding us that it is at the Cayley Lecture Theatre from 6 p.m. at Marylebone. So get on down and hopefully you have a chance to get some questions in there as well.
That's great. And it's really easy to get to if you're listening from Harrow. The Marylebone campus is just straight opposite Baker Street tube station. So very easy to get to along the Metropolitan line. You're listening to the Smoke Radio election debate special. My name is Cassie and I'm joined in the studio by
Jack. And don't forget Regent Street and Little Titchfield up next. Get your questions in.
Great, don't forget Little Titchfield Street.
You're listening to Smoke Radio's election debate.
This is Smoke Radio's election debate. Next up, we hear from the Regent Street and Little Titchfield Street candidates.
That's right, you're listening to At Smoke Radio. Don't forget to get in contact at @smoke_radio using the hashtag UWSUVote. Now, we are joined in the studio by the Regent and Little Titchfield Street campus candidates. There are four of you. So we have, starting this side, would you like to introduce yourself and the course you are studying, please?
My name's Imran. I'm in my final year of law and I'm running for VP of Regents and LTS.
My name's Khalid. I'm in my final year as well from Regents and Little Titchfield Street. I'm studying Arabic and English Literature.
Hi, my name's Omar and I'm a second year law student and I'm also running for Regents and LTS.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm a second-year English Literature and Creative Writing student, and I'm running for VP Regents and LTS.
Perfect. So I'm going to start with a question for Lauren. You mentioned in your manifesto about summer exams. I wondered why is this important to students that we get a fairer spread on your campus, a fairer spread between spring and summer exams?
Okay, I found with a lot of students that they'll do their learning for like semester one modules and then they'll take the exam in the summer and you end up with a 16-week gap in between. And it means, first of all, that that's loads of time to forget things and you're not going to remember it as well as you're going to remember your semester two modules. But as well, you kind of aren't going to have enough time to revise in the summer if you've got loads of exams going on, where splitting it up means there'll be more revision time and you'll also be more fresh in your mind as well.
So what would the other candidates say about this? I don't think many of you mentioned much like this on your manifesto. What do you have to say? Omar, let's start with you.
Well, me, as everyone knows, I've basically hashtag team voice. We keep representing the voice of the students. And if this is something that students wish to have, then I'm more happy to, of course, participate in this and bring this forward. But first, as a result of representing the voice of the students, I must first seek the student's voice and ask them, is this what you want? And if so, then of course this will be proposed.
So Lauren, is this something that you found that students want?
Yeah, I've been going around talking to a lot of different students over the last few days, and a lot of them have said that they're having this issue and that they do have the split of exams and they are finding it hard to deal with.
Okay, Imran, would you say that this is an issue that you kind of have experienced?
I think this is an issue that you experience with certain modules. Definitely doing law, we experience it, so I completely agree on that level. I think the only issue is, and the reason why I didn't raise this in my manifesto, I don't think it's doable by the SU, because you need to get changes like this signed off by a board that assesses the exams, and there's only amount of times that a university can change how they do their exams. So I don't know if it's doable and if the research has really been done into changing that.
Okay, Khaled, is this something that you've experienced? You'd like to, what do you think about this? Would you like to see a better split between spring and summer exams?
In all honesty, I think I've never experienced that. All my exams are in May. But I know a lot of my friends, they study law, and there's a lot of pressure for them. Most of their modules are 30 credit modules, and I know they have exams in January. So I don't know if it's feasible, like Imran said, but I think if enough students want it to be changed, then I guess that's something that.
So I think the general thing is, Lauren, would you like to add on to that?
Yeah, I've been talking to students off a couple of other campuses as well, and I know in Cavendish, they have switched to kind of in-class exams to take some of that pressure off in the January February time. So if it wasn't possible to make a January exam period, I'd want some of their module one exams bringing into class exams to just take that pressure off, really, off students if it wasn't possible to make the January exam period happen.
Okay, so we have a caller on the line. We have Abdul on the phone, ready to ask a question for all of the candidates.
Hello.
Please, Abdul.
Hello.
Hello, you are speaking to the candidates at Regents and Little Titchfield Street. Could you ask your question?
Yeah, I've been listening and nice to hear from you guys, but nobody so far, I think, or has been little mention of sports. I play with the American football team at the university, and something we suffer from is crowds, and that the university doesn't have much of a team spirit. The Dragons seem to just sort of play for themselves, if that makes sense. I'd like to see how you guys would push the school spirit forward, would get people to come down and watch games every week and participate more in sports, whether as players or spectators.
Okay, thanks for the question. How would you respond to this, Imran, please?
So one of my manifesto points is based around societies and sports Wednesdays. So some students might remember we used to get Wednesday evenings off so that we could attend sports events and support the Dragons. The Dragons do an amazing job, but unfortunately, because that's been taken away, we're kind of the only university in London that doesn't keep off the Wednesday evenings.
So your plan would be to get more students off on a Wednesday so that they could engage with social and sports?
Yeah, and a lot of Dragons themselves have told me that because their trainings have had to be shared out across the week and they can't meet in one consecutive goal because of this issue, and it really is an issue for sports and societies.
Okay, Khaled, how would you respond to this? Do you think that sports are an important part of the university's community?
I think it's a very important part. When you start university, many people do, have sports backgrounds and want to engage in it. I think, what I've heard in the last few years, the Dragons have done a really amazing job. I think what they could possibly improve on, I mean, they advertise this quite good in terms of posters, but I think they need to find different avenues to reach out to more people, or maybe try to encourage encourage more students to get involved. One last issue I think that many people did have, and I had when I first started uni, is for the football and a lot of other sports, is quite far, so you have to go all the way to this campus just to get involved with that, and sometimes even further. So I think that's one of the things that puts people off.
So partly distance.
It's the distance, yeah.
Okay. And Lauren, I know that this has been a big part on your manifesto,
yeah.
To increase sports socials as well. Could you tell us a little bit more about how you think that you would get answering Abdul's question, how you think you'd get more students involved?
Yeah, I'm so pleased you brought this up because this is something that I feel is really important. I'd want to have a weekly board on every campus that was saying what games were going on, what kind of social events were going on, to really push it, and also create sports and society socials once a month at first, but if they were popular, keep making them more often. I'd do that with a board of people from different sports and different societies. And I think if you've got people who are friends of people on a sports team, they're more likely to go out of their way to go and see them play. And by doing these events, it'd be open to everyone, and that would mean that they could go
and
see
more. But
some people
just don't care about sports. What would you say?
I mean, if you're not interested in sports, I'm not particularly a sporty person, but if I had a friend who was playing a sport, I'd want to go and support them like I'd expect them to support me in anything that I was doing. So I think it's more about making connections and bonds than about being interested in sport.
So what in particular would you do? Is there sort of one thing that you would aim to do if you were elected vice president?
So these sports and society socials, I wouldn't want them to just be one type of thing. I wouldn't want them just to all be nights out, because I don't think you can interact with people properly through that. So maybe it's kind of a massive sports day in the summer where everybody's getting involved and everyone's playing. And then people can watch as well, and people are going to get a showcase what they can do and things like that, and just a range of activities.
Great. So that sounds really fun, especially if we get some good weather.
Yeah.
And Omar, how would you sort of tackle this question?
Well, I think you have to approach it from a different point of view. I think the issue is not necessarily with advertisements on posters or anything like this. I think the issue is with timetabling. Right now, some lectures still, unfortunately, remain to take place on Wednesdays. And with,
so you follow with Imran on this point?
Most definitely. And it's a goal that's it's feasible and practical at the same time. It can be implemented. So it's a very practical goal to have. And that is the main issue here. It's not to do with posters. It's not to do with attendance. Attendance is an issue that can be resolved primarily by having lectures not taking place on Wednesdays, which is something that is taken upon by many other universities across the country.
Okay, so you think that if we, collectively, you think that if Wednesdays were off, you would get more chance to be able to involve with sports socials. I hope that answered your question, Abdul.
Okay, so I've got a few things coming in on the Twitter. We'll just have quick answers to these guys. So got a tweet coming from Yasmina. She said, Khalid, where will you gain the funding from to offer the 48-hour computer loan service, as there are shortages already?
Okay, in regards to the 48-hour loan service, this wouldn't require that much funding. It's just basically, this becomes especially important as exam periods approach. And not all students, a lot of students have laptops, not all students do have access to laptops. And this was the case with me in my first 2 years. And I think it's very difficult for students to, you know, sometimes they can't make it in on the next day, and they don't get a fine, but they get blocked for double the amount of time. So I want to switch it around. I want to offer a 48-hour loan to help students meet their deadlines. And if they go over that, just block them for 24 hours instead. And I think a lot of students will appreciate this.
Okay,
especially
thanks.
I'm going
to move on to another one now. Omar, students historically hate surveys, and there are loads at Westminster. Would this be the best approach to gather student opinion?
I know myself, I hate surveys, and I actually participated in a recent survey myself, and I was fortunate enough to be awarded £5. But the issue here is I don't want £5. I want a voice. I want to change the university, and I want something that's actually going to have a real impact. And the reason being my survey has a real impact is because it's based on a reliable improvement metric used across various industries. For example, an MBS score that's used by Apple right now. They have a plus 70 score, and it's used across industries, best industries across the world. And I have taken this and adapted it in such a manner that can be used with Westminster to treat students as if they were customers. And from this result, I will implement great change without the whole of university. And it's not a survey that is hard or any way long to fill out.
So you said it would treat students as customers. Is that how you see students now?
No,
as customers?
Because customers, if you implement it in the best of ways, customers are always right. And therefore, students are always right. You want to make change? I'll give it to you.
Okay, thank you.
I've got one question for Lauren as well. Students often post are blind and don't notice them. How do you think the boards will differ?
I think there needs to be better placement. At the minute, you don't really see where they're at and things like that. And I just think if you know that they're going to be in this one position every single week, you know where to go and check. At the minute, there isn't one place. There's just posters everywhere. So you're not going to take attention to them. Where if there's one specific place where you know all the information is going to be, then you will take the time to go and look at it.
Okay, cool. And finally, one for Imran. What does greater work in LTS include, and what benefit will your relationships there be to those students?
So one of my points, unfortunately there wasn't enough space on the manifestos, but is spending active hours in LTS. I want to get SU staff out of their offices and going to students. Students pay £9,000, and they shouldn't be forced to go into offices to get their problems solved. SCU should be going out there, finding out the problems and fixing the problems for them. And the same in LTS. I want to create a proper sense of, I know this word is overused, but community, because LTS feels very detached from rest of the university, let alone Regents. And I want to build that bridge. And as a law student myself, I've felt it. And if you go across the LTS building, I completely understand the issue that the SU doesn't really have a presence there. And I want to change that by getting the SU actively working with students there and prioritising them as much as they do Regent students.
So is this something that you've heard from students themselves?
Yeah, so even today I was at LTS and students said, what's the SU? What SU?
And we know earlier sad. That this is a campus-wide issue, because earlier we listened to those vox pops from people just in Harrow, and they didn't know about much about the Students' Union either. Omar, did you want to talk about this lack of sort of social space in LTS, a space where students can actually find out more about the Students' Union?
Yeah, most definitely. One of my major points here is actually introducing a social space. But my social space will be located in Regents. And there's a reason being for this, because during my intensive research that I did, I came across, of course, the faith rooms located in LTS are now being pushed to be removed. And the university want to use the all faith rooms and all prayer rooms in LTS as a social area. And like my candidate, Khalid, says his priority on his list is introduce social areas in Little Titchfield. And little does he know, if they introduce a social area in Little Titchfield Street, this means a direct impact on all faith rooms in LTS.
So, Khalid, what would you say to that?
I agree in the sense that it's important to have a social space, but it's what I would do if I get the position, I would ensure that there is a social space in Titchfield, but it would not impact the faith rooms, because the faith rooms is used by hundreds of students, and I will not allow that to happen.
Okay, we just got one more question.
One more quick tweet. This one's directed at Lauren. It says, it's from Ryan Brown. He said, English students' library space is located 4 floors beneath the ground. What are your thoughts on this, and what would you address?
How would you address? 20 seconds.
Okay, currently for English students, I know that's a little bit out of the way. We don't actually study on LTS, we only go there for the library. So maybe as if there was some sort of library facility on Wells Street, for example. I know there's a lot of English there, so maybe moving it onto Wells Street and getting that more involved as well.
Okay, and just one more question.
This is just to the candidates general. There's loads and loads of questions coming for all of you guys. If you can check on smoke at smoke _ radio and reply to some of the tweets we didn't get a chance to read out. Thank you again, everyone, for all your tweets.
Will do.
Okay, yes, big thanks to the candidates for coming in to the studio. Please continue the debate, as Jack said, afterwards. We look forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
This is Smoke Radio's election debate. Next up, we hear from the presidential candidates. You're listening to Smoke Radio's election debate.
That's right, you're listening to Smoke Radio. And now we have got all 5 candidates for the presidential spot at UWSU. So remember, you can get in touch, hashtag UWSUvote. And also, we've got 2 callers coming in for this question, for this slot. So if you haven't managed to get your question in, you can contact us and speak with all of the candidates after that. So let's start from this side. Would you just please introduce yourself, your course as well, please?
Hi guys, my name's Jim Hirschman, I'm running for SU President, and my course is European Legal Studies LLB, Bachelor's in Law.
Hi, I'm Rhys Stevenson, I'm running for President, and my course is Human and Medical Science.
Hi guys, my name is Hazem, and I'm running for...
What are you studying?
I'm studying Business Management with Law.
Fantastic.
Hello, my name is Ash. I'm studying cognitive neuroscience and I'm running for president and NUS delegate.
Hi everyone, I'm Aisha. I'm a third year politics and IR student. And as you can hear, I'm the only female running for president.
Fantastic. So we are going to kick off with a question on the phone very soon. We have Ryan Brown, who is going to ask a question on accountability.
Hi guys, hello.
Ryan.
Hey, Cassie. Hey. I just wanted to ask the candidates for president about, accountability and transparency in the university as regards funding, especially. As far as students know, well, actually, students don't really know anything about the spending of the SU. So I just wanted to ask how the SU will address that.
So let's take an answer from Jim first. You've put your hand up.
So to be quite clear, I think there needs to be utter transparency in what the SU is doing with its £1 million budget, which is £50 per student. I think you need to know on which societies it's being spent. There also needs to be clarity on what happens to sabbatical officers, specifically their fenced off budgets, to which they can spend as they like.
So currently, last year's sabbatical officers were paid £24,000 a year. This, as we were talking earlier with Usman, this has been cut to £20,000. Why has this happened? Are you aware?
One of the biggest things is training. So they're trying to invest more money into training sabbatical officers so they can deliver better. I think there's an issue where sabbatical officers don't show up to office. I think things like that are not acceptable. And where that happens, I think there should be a strong backlash by students. So therefore, I would, for example, publish my targets every month and the outcomes, encourage every vice president to do the same. And I hope this would tackle that issue.
Yeah, this is exactly what I had in mind. This is exactly what my policies are going to be like. One thing I want to make sure that the student union has at least every month shows they need to show this statement. They need to show where the money is going, where the money is being spent. Okay. One of my policies will be a regular question time to the president and to the sabbatical officers, where you can come and ask them
So you believe that the transparency of the SU is an issue at the moment?
It is an issue, yeah, because we're not being made aware of where the money is going. A lot of the students are not being made aware that a lot of the sabbatical officers actually get paid. A lot of people don't actually know that people in power, they don't know that these people are actually getting paid at least £24,000 a year.
Okay, let's go speak to Rhys. What do you think about
this? I think one of the things that needs to be done is, I think a great idea would be to have more kind of surgeries in a way, so that where the VPs and presidents can make an effort to at least, you know, have a room where the students can come in and sit down and have these one-to-one sessions where they can
Isn't that just the office space at the moment?
Well, I guess that is, but I feel one of the problems is sometimes people just feel really intimidated to go in. You look through and you see the VP and the people working, and it's not the fault of the VPs either, because they always try and encourage, and from when I've spoken to them, they've already encouraged us to go in. For some reason, again,
Aisha, we'll speak to you next.
Yeah, I mean, I think that SABs need to go around at least once or twice a day to go around each campus, hopefully, and try and ask people as much as possible of what they think about the SU, and try and sort of talk about what is actually going on in the SU so people know by word of mouth. And I think the website comes into big plays with this as well. And obviously, currently, the website hasn't been amazing, but with further improvements and stuff like that, especially with the finance budgets and stuff like that, would be great.
Okay, so you're looking at the website to get more transparency. Ash, in your manifesto, you talk about getting students' voices first and also bringing back something that's quite old, the Poly Parliament, where students can actually discuss things with sabbatical officers.
Yeah, I think everyone here is just sort of pushing for a more transparent and accountable student union, which I'm really happy to see. But I think the only way to do this is through a polytechnic parliament, where every week or every fortnight, however feasible it may be, you would put the sabbatical team, you would put the student union to hold, you would find out what they're doing, how they're spending the money. Also with that, you could raise motions.
So this would really, really help the students to actually be heard, which you think is something that's missing at the moment?
Yeah, this is the only way to be more proactive with students. Also, this would run during lunchtime, so students can come and go. It'll be open to everyone, not just within our student union bubble.
And Jim, we'll go over to you for a last point for this.
So just talking about actually implementing that, right now the issue is with societies, to make sure societies are treated fairly, so there needs to be a present at forums with all the presidents, for example. SAB should show up to that. At course rep meetings, sabbatical officers have historically said it's not their job to show up to course rep meetings. I'd change that. I'd be present at all the high-level meetings.
So you think it would be part of your job? We are just going to move on to another caller on the line. Rabia has a question to put to the vice president for the president of the Students' Union. Rabia, hello.
Hello. Hello there.
What's your question?
Hi, my question is to all the presidents. I mean, I've read all the manifestos and they all make sense. I mean, they're all pretty generic, but they do make sense. My question is, we talk about engagement of students within the campuses. Now, my question is, how can you make sure that there is engagement within the departments? We do talk about having this community feeling, but how can you actually make sure that, you know, there are different departments, for example, in schools of science and technology, how can you make sure the Department of Psychology is well aware of departments of electronics? So engagement within the campus rather than the, you know, cross campus.
Great. So that's